24/7 thing that went on. And I thank God for that time. I grew and matured a lot in the Lord and in the things of God. But this man and Roy and a few others, but this man called, and Loretta, but this man called me every week. This man called me every week and said, "How are you doing? What's going on in your life? How can I help you? How can I bless you? How can I pray for you?" He was faithful to me. He's been a great friend. Thank you. So, let's do it. I hope your next 2 hours are free, because it's going to get in. How many have ever heard the expression, in the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed, and in the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed? I love the Old Testament. And when I got saved and I was living alone and I had no idea what really salvation was about and Jesus, except I knew that Jesus was the answer, God led me to the book of Genesis. And Genesis, Bereshit, Genesis is the beginning. It's the beginning. And if I could have that first slide, please. We're going to study about Isaac and Rebekah this morning. And in studying about Isaac and Rebekah, isn't it interesting that in the Bible, God gives his account of creation, and I believe it's the true account, it's 31 verses. The marriage of Isaac and Rebekah is 67 verses long. Do you think there might be something in there God wants to reveal to us? Because the New Testament is concealed in the Old. And to understand the New Testament, to really appreciate it, you have to know the Old. It's far more than battles and begats. It's the foundation. It's the foundation that the Gospels are brought on. Let's turn to Luke 24. We're not going to do those, by the way. But Genesis 24 is in direct correlation to all those verses right there. The Bible is one document. It's two covenants, one document. I grew up in a church that said, well, the Old Testament, that was for then. The New Testament's for now, and they ignored it. And I really struggled. Like, who is this Jesus? Why did he come to Israel? Why did he come to this little backwater in the middle of nowhere? We need him now. The Cold War was going on. Nuclear annihilation was a possibility. And I never could understand why him, why there, why then. And the Old Testament explains all those things. But all those, you can get a direct correlation to them in Genesis 24. There's 37 more Old Testament. I didn't have them put up. Yeah, I thought it was a little redundant. Okay, but that's what you can do. And in Luke 24, let's go to about verse 15. Jesus appears to two men on the way to Emmaus. And this is the most exclusive Bible study in the history of the world. Two men and a risen Christ for 2 hours walking that 7 miles to Emmaus, and Jesus is giving them a lesson. He's teaching them the most, to have been there and to have been Cleopas. But we'll read it real quick. And it came to pass that while they communed together, these guys were coming out of Jerusalem. They were broken. They were in despair. They were in depression. Their heart was aching. The one they thought was going to take them out from under the thumb of the Romans, out from under the thumb of the Syrians, out from under the thumb of the temple police and the corrupt religious system of the day. They thought this was the guy who was going to deliver them. He has died. their hero is gone as far as they know, and they are absolute they're mortally wounded and afraid. And it came to in a psychological, spiritual sense, and it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near. And, I mean, there's a couple sermons in this, but we won't stop there. And went with him, but their eyes were holden. I'm reading the King's English in case you're wondering which ones I'm in. But that their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, what manner of communication are these that you are, that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? In other words, what are you guys talking about? And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering and said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things that are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, what things? the Lord has a sense of humor. And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. And then they go on to explain all this down through chapter to verse 24. But he says this, then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And I think it's vitally important for us as Christians to know the books of Moses and the prophets. Jesus gave him a 2-hour Bible study from the Torah, the first five, plus people like Isaiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Zechariah. Who knows where he went, but he spent 2 hours in the Old Testament teaching them about himself. In this day and age, even in the early church age, Paul preached to all the churches out of the Old Testament. If you're not a Bible student, you should be. This is the document you're going to live by through all eternity. Our guarantee of heaven is wrapped up in this book. So let's go to Genesis 24. Second slide, please. Now Abraham was old and well advanced in years, and the Lord had blessed him in every way. Oh, that could be our testimony. That could be our testimony. Slide 3. He said to the chief servant in his house, the one in charge of all that he had, put your hand under my thigh. Well, the guy up there is responding to me. Thank you. I think your name's Ryan. Thank you.
How do we turn that? Thank you for your faithfulness.
Okay. Too much electronics. In Genesis 24, 1-3, Abraham was old and stricken well with age. He's about 100, he's over 100. I think it's 137. Abraham lived to be 160, I believe. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house, I'll tell you what this plan is in this chapter right now, so you can pick up on the salient points if I am able to communicate those. And by the way, I forgot to pray. Father God, I ask for your anointing. Help me to communicate this to your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, let's get on with it. And Abraham said to his eldest servant, now yours might say most trusted servant, this is the story of the church. This is a passion play. This is not the passion play. This is a passion play. That's why it's 67 verses. Abraham is God the Father. He plays the part of God the Father. Eleazar, or the most trusted servant, he isn't called that there because the Holy Spirit put that phraseology in there because the Holy Spirit works inside the text. Every word has its own spatial meaning. The Holy Spirit spoke it letter by letter, word by word. That's how careful he is with the text. So here, rather than be called by name, we know it's Eliezer. He is called the most trusted servant. That most trusted servant is a picture of the Holy Spirit. Okay? Isaac is a picture of the Christ. Now remember, you had the Akedah. You remember in Genesis 22 where he was taken up on the mountain. He was an adult. He carried the wood up the mountain for his father. That doesn't make him a little boy. Sunday school has a lot of misconceptions when you teach it to little kids. You need to learn this stuff as an adult. It's a whole different program. There are many different programs. So what happened was that from the end of Genesis 22, you see nothing of Isaac till the end of Isaiah 24. Isaiah is a picture of the Christ. He was offered, but God gave a substitute, right? But you don't hear anything about Isaac through 23 and 24 till the end. And as we go through it, you'll understand. I think if I do my job, you will. So, and Abraham sent unto his eldest servant of his house that ruled over all that he had, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. If you're a believer and you're walking in the things of God, and you're a Christian, you're not supposed to be marrying outside the faith. Okay, that's the easiest way to explain that. Okay, all of us aren't that lucky. Okay, all of us aren't that fortunate. We come to know the Lord after or whatever, but that is the ideal model. But thou shalt go unto my country and to my kindred and take a wife for my son Isaac. And the servant said unto him, I'm in verse 5, yes, thank you. And the servant said unto him, perhaps, or peradventure, the woman will not be willing to follow me unto this land. Must I needs bring the son again unto the land from whence she came? No. Where's Jesus today? He sits at the right hand of the Father, awaiting the command to return. Okay? He cannot leave heaven until God gives him permission. So is the picture starting to form a little bit. And Abraham said unto him, beware that thou bring not my son thither or back to that place again. And the Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house, I'm in 7, and from the land of my kindred, which spake unto me, and that sware unto me, saying, unto thy seed will I give this land, he shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from there. And if a woman will not be willing to follow thee, then thou shalt be clear from this my oath, only bring not my son back there, or take him to there. Isaac had never been there. Where he's going to send him is Haran. Okay? And Haran and Beersheba, where Abraham lives, is 500 miles. Okay? That's how far the distance is. So anyway, that's important later. We'll get to that. So what happens is that he says, no, my son is not to go back there, not to return. Jesus can't return until the Father tells him to. He can't go until the Father says, go get your bride, go get her. And if you want to know what that looks like, look at a Jewish wedding. So a traditional Jewish wedding. And if the woman will not be willing to follow thee, then thou shalt be clear from this my oath. Only bring not my son back there again, or take him there. In that culture, marriages were arranged by the parents. Yeah. This idea of romantic love came through the gospel. There's no reason to thank Jesus, right? You better say amen, because this is the heart of that. This is the beginning of, this is the nest. This is the nodule of romantic love. In an ancient Jewish house, the marriage was arranged, but the bride ultimately had the right to say no. Now, all you have to do is look at the Middle East today and realize that many women under Islam have no right to say no. 9-year-old girls are sold into wedding contracts. God forbid. But in a Jewish house, the bride has a right to say no. Praise the Lord. Praise God. We're not coerced into serving him. This is the picture of the church. He comes to you and he comes to me and he offers himself. There's this one called the Holy Spirit who comes and enlightens us and tells us there is this one waiting. I'm getting ahead of the story. Okay, let's go on. All right. So, and his servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham, his master, and swore to him concerning the matter. And the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master, in verse 10, and departed, for all the goods of his master were in his hand. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia to the city of Nahor. That city is actually Haran. Nahor is the brother of Abraham. So, 10 camels. This is not everything Abraham owned. How many have watched a TV movie and saw Abraham as this poor little desert drifter who had a lamb under one arm and a couple sheep following him, and they were just scraping by? Go read when Abraham goes and rescues Lot. He has 312 trained servants who can handle a bow, a spear, and a sword. Abraham was a caravan master. That's why he always encamped outside the city, because he had so much stuff he couldn't get it in the city. He was the city. You go back and read ancient literature, and the two richest men in the Orient at that time were Abraham and Job. They were contemporaries. Another interesting fact is Abraham, Jacob, and Isaac were all alive at the same time. Been fun to sit around the campfire of that bunch, huh? No, I'm serious. Think what Abraham imparted to those, to his son and his grandson. So he has 312 men who can swing a sword. How many more servants did they have? But he takes 10 camels of the best stuff he has as a present to the bride and to her family. Jesus is the best stuff God has. It's his son. And when he sends his gifts unto us, he gives us the best. Praise the Lord. He gives us the best. 10 camels, a couple hundred pounds a camel, 10 camels, 10 drivers, probably 50 soldiers to watch over, because they're going to get all the criminals. They didn't have prisons in those days, and all the criminals lived out in the desert. So as soon as you came out as a caravan, if you looked weak or vulnerable, you were history. So everywhere they went, they had camel drivers, they had a caravan guy that led it, Eleazar in this case, and then they had armed troops to back it up. So quite a retinue, right? So He heads for Haran. That's 500 miles. And he made his camels to kneel down outside the city of a well of water at the time of the evening, even the time that women go out to draw water. Aren't you glad for indoor plumbing? And he said, "O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, put down your pitcher, I pray thee, and that I may drink. And she shall say, drink, and I will give thy waters, by thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that hast appointed for thy servant Isaac, and thereby shall I know that thou hast shown kindness to you, to my master." He's throwing out a fleece. Remember the Gideon thing? He's throwing out a fleece. And he's saying, "God, the one you have picked out, the one you have picked out for Isaac, let her come out. And when I ask her if she'll give me a drink of water, not only will she give me a drink of water," she's packing about a 4-gallon jug, right, on her shoulder full of water. "Not only is she going to give me a drink of water, but she's going to offer to give all my camels water. And a camel will drink between 10 and 40 gallons. This is not an easy test. Yeah. Possibly 300 gallons of water these old brutes are going to drink. And she said, and she's going to volunteer to do it. So Eliezer, that's a pretty tough fleece. You know, that's a pretty tough fleece. It speaks to us as potential servants of the Lord. If God asks you to do something hard, will you do it? Will you do it? So, back where I was. And the damsel was very fair to... let's back up one. And it came to pass before he had done speaking. God is in this thing, man. It's just like, now, do it. Yeah, you know, when God wants to do something, get out of the way. Just get out of the way. It's going to happen. And Rebekah came out, who was born of Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor. Anyway, their family. And the damsel was very fair. The young maiden was very fair and to look upon, a virgin. Neither had any man known her, nor she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up. And the servant ran to meet her and said, men don't run to women in the Orient. Okay, you might have noticed that from all the Middle East stuff that goes on over there. Let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher. And she said, drink, my lord. And she hastened and let down her pitcher and upon her hand and gave him drink. And when she had done giving him drink, she said, I will draw water for your camels also until they have done drinking. She doesn't have a spigot. She doesn't have a faucet. She's doing it hand over hand with a rope and a bucket out of a well. She's going to give 300 gallons of water to these camels. And she hurried and emptied her pitchers into the trough and ran again unto the well to draw water and drew for all his camels. And a man wondering at her held his peace. He's in amazement. It's like, this is happening before my very eyes. I'm seeing God answer this prayer. And it's just happening right now, right here. It's happening before me. To wit, the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. And it came to pass, as the camels had done drinking, that the man took a golden earring of half a shekel. That's a half an ounce. It's a half an ounce. Half a shekel weight and two bracelets for her hands of 10 shekels. That's 5 ounce, that's 2 5-ounce gold bracelets on her wrist and a half-ounce earring in her nose. Okay. There was an editorial comment there, but I'm going to strike that. Okay. And then said, whose daughter are you? Tell me, I pray thee, is there room in thy father's house for us to lodge? This is back before Holiday Inn or Ramada. Okay, you had to, you know, you had to find somebody who would put you up. And and she said unto him, I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, and she bare unto Nahor, her Abraham's brother. She said moreover unto him, we both have straw and feed enough and room to lodge in. Now God accommodates this. And the man bowed down his head and worshiped the Lord because he knew God had been answering this prayer. How can you not worship God when something that it is absolutely vital to your life occurs directly in front of you? A grateful heart always has first place in God's hearing. Grateful heart. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. I being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my brother's master's brethren. And the damsel ran, the young woman ran, and told them of her mother's house these things. Yeah, you come home with a gold nose ring and a couple of bracelets. Somebody's going to say, where'd you get those and how did you get those? And Rebecca had a brother, and his name was Laban. You'll read about him in other places. He has a reputation. And Laban ran out unto the man unto the well, and it came to pass, when he saw the earring and the bracelets upon his sister's hands, and when he heard the words of Rebekah his sister, saying, thus spake the man unto me, that he came unto the man, behold, he stood by the camels at the well, and he said, come in, thou blessed of the Lord. You got bucks, I'm glad to see you. Just come right on in. We'll make it work. Okay. Why do you stand outside? Come on in, for I have prepared the house and room for the camels. And the man came into the house, and he ungirded his camels and gave straw and provender to the camels. And there was set meat before him to eat, but he said, I will not eat until I have told mine errand. And he said, speak on. The Holy Spirit is commissioned to carry out a work in every one of our lives. And he doesn't delay. He doesn't dally. He isn't distracted by Facebook. He carries out the work as a good servant, right on time, right when it's needed, right where it's supposed to go. And so we see this. He said, I will not do anything until I finish this errand. And he said, I am Abraham's servant. And the Lord hath blessed my master greatly, and he hath become great, and he hath given him flocks and herds and silver and gold and men servants and maid servants and camels and donkeys, and it goes on and on. You know, he's got his share. And Sarah, my master's wife, bare a son to my master, whom when she was old, and unto him hath he given all that he hath. In other words, he's the heir. He's getting everything Abraham has. And my master made me swear, saying, thou shalt not take a wife of the Canaanites. The Canaanites were cursed for several reasons. But thou shalt go unto my father's house and to my kindred, back to marrying back in the family. And I said unto my master, perhaps the woman will not follow me. And he said unto me, the Lord before whom I walk will send his angel with you and prosper your way. O Lord, this day send your Holy Spirit with us to prosper our way. And thou shalt take a wife for thy son of my kindred and of my father's house. Then shalt thou be clear from this thy oath. Then thou comest to thy kindred. And if thou give not thee one, thou shalt be clear from thy wife. And it came, and anyway, goes on and explains all that. And they get up there, because it's a long chapter, and Seahawks are playing, so. Anyway, he gets down in 48 and 49. And now, if you will deal kindly and truly with my master, tell me, and if not, tell me, that I may turn to the right hand or to the left, or that if this isn't the place, I need to go on. You know, I have to return with a wife. It has to be from the family, but I can't just sit here, and if it's not going to happen here, I need to be doing something else. Then Laban and Bethuel, that's the father of Laban and Rebekah, answered and said, the thing proceedeth from the Lord. They understood the hand of God moving in their lives. They knew that this was something extraordinary. And they said, this thing proceedeth from the Lord. We cannot speak unto thee bad or good. Behold, Rebekah is before thee. Take her and go, and let her be thy master's son's wife, as the Lord hath spoken. And it came to pass that when Abraham's servant heard their words, he worshiped the Lord, bowing himself to the earth. Notice how this servant continues to worship God. You notice how he is not a Jew, but he knows. And he worships the Lord. He worships the God. He worships the God of Abraham, soon to be God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And a servant brought forth jewels of silver and jewels of, and gold and raiment and gave them to Rebekah. He gave also to her brother and to her mother precious things. And they did eat and drink. Oh, I bet you they did. They liked this guy, right? He and the men that were with him, and they tarried all night. And they rose up in the morning and they said, send me away unto my master. When you receive Christ, you are welcomed into the family of God, and he sends good things to you and to your family. They may not always be gold and silver and jewels, but they are things far more precious. They are things eternal. They are things that might be healing. It might be restoration of relationships. It might be a new need in your life that's taken care of. But he sends gifts unto us when we receive. It's good to know someone who knows the Lord. It's good to know someone. It's even better to know the Lord. Praise God. Praise God. So they stayed the night. And so they said, let her abide a few days. There's a scripture in the New Testament that says that salvation is today. It was incumbent upon her to leave with him today. When you hear the gospel message, receive it today. Don't wait. You don't know what tomorrow brings or the next moment brings. If it's offered, receive it. Don't wait for a better deal. Don't wait for, let me think it over. Maybe when I get old and I can't do all these, some people say religion is for kids and old people. No, it's not. It's for everyone each day of their life, because some people don't ever get to be old. You don't know. And the alternative isn't that great. And they said, we will call the damsel. He said, so Eliezer says, no, I'm not waiting around a few days. Make a decision. Today is the day of salvation. Make a decision. Now. So they said, we will call the damsel and see what she has to say about this. And they called Rebekah and said unto her, wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will go. I will go. Will you go? Are you on a journey with him? Are you going on the path of salvation? Are you walking with the Lord today? Are you on that great journey to the Son? Yes. She'll probably never see her family again. They're 500 miles away. She'll never see them again, probably. Her son will. Because her son has put himself in such a jackpot, he hasn't any choice. He's going to see him again. He's going to meet Laban. But she will never see him again. But she said, I will go. I will forsake all these other things and go to meet this one. Will we forsake all things for Christ? Or just the things that are easy to give up? It's a question. And they sent away Rebekah, their sister, and her nurse, that's her maid, and Abraham's servant, and his men. And they blessed Rebekah and said unto her, this is prophetic, thou art our sister, be thou the mother of thousands of millions, and let thy seed possess the gate of those who hate them. In other words, may your family conquer all come against them. But you see, if Rebekah would have said, I don't really know this guy, and it's a long ways away, and you're asking me to do a hard thing, and I don't think I can do this, she would have given up immortality. The plan of salvation doesn't go on without her. Okay. The plan of salvation isn't complete without you and without your family. That none should perish. We have an obligation to lead people to Jesus so that none should perish. And Rebekah rose and her damsels, she took more than one with her, and they rode upon the camels and followed the man, and the servant took Rebekah and went his way. She's on the road. We are on a journey this morning. We are traveling to our home, to our new home. We have never seen it, but we've heard a lot about it. And we're going to meet the one we have never seen. Blessed is he who has seen me, but more blessed is the one who has not, who hears and has not. That's us. Salvation is to those afar off. You know, they're talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. He said, in Acts, it said it's to those afar off. We're 8,000 miles in 2,000 years. We're afar off. But it's unto us. The promise hasn't worn out. The covenant is forever. It's everlasting. It's eternal. The gifts of the Spirit are until the church age is over. We should really desire the gifts that came to us upon meeting Christ. We should really pursue and want those things in our life. They're dynamic. Where am I for time? Oh, you're going to get out early. How about that? And Isaac went out to meditate in the field. Isaac is a picture of Christ. And if you look at the ministry of Isaac, first of all, he offered himself. He was a 30-year-old man when he got laid down on that altar. He was not a baby. He was not a child. Sunday school, we always had him, you know, like about this big. God is not into killing children. God forbid. He was a 30-year-old man who carried that wood up Mount Moriah and helped build that altar, placed the wood on it, and turned to his father and said, "Father, we have the fire, we have the wood, but where's the lamb?" And Abraham prophetically said, "My son, God will provide the lamb." His name is Jesus. I love the Old Testament. I love it. Isaac is a grown man, but you watch his ministry after the Akedah, after the work on Mount Moriah. He goes back and redigs all the wells and reestablishes all the claims that Abraham made to the land. What is Jesus doing? He's coming back, taking back the territory that the enemy took from Adam and Eve, that was given to them by God. Yes. That was his work. Yes. His work is to reestablish the covenant in the land. Yes. Only it's not only a covenant, it is the covenant. It is the everlasting covenant. It is the new covenant. Yes. We're all covered under it. It's forever. It's ours. Yes. Rejoice. Praise the Lord. And he lifted up his eyes and he saw, and behold, the camels were coming. This is the day he's been waiting for. What do you think was going on with those camels? Well, that 500-mile journey, about 50, 60 miles a day, 8-10-day journey. What do you think was going on around the fire at night when Eleazar and Rebecca and her maids were sitting around the fire? What do you think was happening? Rebecca was going, "Tell me about Isaac. What's he like? What's he look like? You know, what kind of guy is he? You know, is he tall? Is he short? Does he have a hooked nose? You know, what is it with him? You know, what is with this guy? What does he love? What's the passion of his heart? What does he cry out for? Is he fair? Is he just? Is he good? What is this man that I'm going to meet? Who is this one I'm traveling to?" It's the work of the Holy Spirit to teach us. But we have to ask a question once in a while. It's incumbent upon us to ask. But for 8 to 10 days, you can see it around that campfire. This telling of who she's about to meet. For 64, and Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she jumped off the camel. What are you going to do when you see Jesus? You're going to go, "Oh, there's Jesus. Yeah, I'll catch you later. Peace, brother." You know, whatever. You're going to run to him. You're going to run to him. You want to touch. You want to hold. You want to embrace. You want to feel the heartbeat and the person that you have longed for all your Christian life. There he is. Wrap your arms around him. I think he expects that. Because that's how he feels for you. That's how he feels for you. Now she's on the ground, right? And she had said unto the servant, oh, this is past tense, what man is this that walketh in the field to meet us? And the servant had said, it is my master. Therefore she took a veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all the things that he had done. And Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent. This is at Hebron. And took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. He was in the field coming to meet her. Jesus is coming to meet us. He comes and stands in the atmosphere over the earth, and the trumpet is blown, and we are caught up to be with him in the air. A glorious reunion. A glorious reunion. We are called this morning. We are called to, if you don't know the Old Testament, get into it. Abraham's the father. Eleazar, the Holy Spirit in his play. Isaac is the son. And Rebekah is the church. And through Rebekah comes Jacob and the 12 sons. And the rest is history, as they say. But it's wonderful. And if Pastor Mike, let me give you a plug. First Sunday of January, I'm starting a new series called Sunday School Lessons for grown-ups. And we're going to go back and visit some of the heroes we learned about when we were in primary. And we're going to learn about them as grown adults and how they are types and shadows of the one who is to come. And yeah, they're metaphors, they're allegories. The Holy Spirit uses many, many literary mechanisms to write this book. But until you really know these men as an adult, you really don't know them. And it's going to last about 8 or 9 weeks. And we're going to do people like David, Samuel, Solomon. We're going to do people like Moses, Jacob at Mahanaim, at the camp, the two camps. It's more than he and his brother Esau. It's Jacob's camp and the camp of angels that are surrounding Jacob. The two camps, Mahanaim. It's beautiful stories. Get up early, come to Sunday school. Pastor Mike, come on up.
I was, there's a couple things. One, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, today is the day. If there's a tug in your heart saying, man, I'm not sure, today is the day. And we're going to give you opportunity to make Jesus Christ a public confession, because though it's a private between you and Jesus, we're a family and we do this together. The second thing is this. I pray that all of us have a passion for Jesus and a passion for his word, that the older we get, the more passionate we become for Jesus and his word. Can you say amen? And if you find yourself in your walk with God, it's a little mechanical. It's a little, things I'm supposed to do, I have to do, I should do. That is not relationship. Relationship is when you long to, you want to, you desire to. And if in your heart, I just, Tom, with the tears, I'm glad you're getting older. The tears, it's a beautiful thing. But his passions for the word and the passion for Jesus, he gets greater and greater the more we know him. The longer we know him, he doesn't lose his shine, or he doesn't become like boring. He becomes greater and greater the longer. And this morning, I've got two things I want us to pray for. One, if you don't know Jesus Christ, today is your day, because Holy Spirit is calling you today. And second is this. If you say, Mike, honestly, God is kind of just a part of my life. He's something I do kind of when I have to, or if I got nothing else going on, then I might try. And you don't want to live that way anymore, but you want to live with a passion for Jesus. We're going to be honest with him and allow him to do a work of Holy Spirit, a liaison in our lives. And I asked Tom to stay here. Would you rise? Would you stand with me, please, everyone? Would you stand? This is not guilt, this is not shame, and this is not condemnation. This is just being honest as family. I'm going to ask Tom to pray for us. And if you, for just a moment, with your eyes closed and your head bowed, if you don't know Jesus Christ today, I'm not talking about were you raised in a church home. I'm not talking about you've gone to church. I'm not talking about mom and dad or grandparents or followers of God. I'm not talking about you know the stories. I'm not talking about you can quote some verses. I'm talking honestly. Do you have a real, genuine relationship with Jesus Christ? That's what we're talking about. And if you are not sure, if you are not confident, you can be today. And he say, Mike, I am not real sure about this. I just need Jesus today. I'm just going to cut through the chase. I need Jesus today. Would you just simply raise your hand so I know who we can pray for? That when Tom prays, I would say, man, I'm going to pray for you. Is there anyone? Okay. How's your passion for Jesus? Is he who you think about? Is he your motivation for life? How's your passion for his word? And as Tom prays today, you say, Mike, I find myself a little bit dry, or maybe a lot of bit dry. I really need Spirit, Eleazar, to reveal Jesus to me. As Tom prays, just pray with him and ask that Holy Spirit would just do a marvelous work of passion in your life. Tom, would you pray?
Sure. Father God, thank you for the beauty that is in this word. Thank you, God, that you've laid it out 100 different ways for us to see it and to hear it and read it and absorb it. Come this day, O Holy Spirit, fill our lives with your Spirit. Give us new life, new strength, new hope, new grace, new truth. O God, make us alive and strong, vital and powerful for the work of God in this day. Give us life this day in Jesus' name. Fill us with your Spirit. Yes. Give us hope and grace and truth. And give us peace and direction to travel in this life. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Can you say amen? Amen. Yeah, that would be appropriate. Go ahead. I pray that as you go back to whatever responsibilities you have on Monday, that God goes with you. Be Jesus to someone this week. Invite them to church. Invite them to Christmas Eve service. Invite them to know Jesus. Invite them to relationship. Invite them to what you know about Jesus. Let us be people who welcome others into genuine fellowship with Jesus. Can you love on somebody? God bless you this morning. Have a great week, and we will see you this Wednesday night for class, the flyover, prayer, and we'll see you next Sunday. God bless you guys.